Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. The big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $50 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
See participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Cut Diamond, and the spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Foodie and the Beast. And once again, I am beastless, and I'm kind of getting used to it. I think I like it. I like bringing in a special guest host whenever I feel like it. David is not here today, but with me I have Metro Curian's Amanda McClement.
I'm back and beastie as ever. Right?
Excellent. Wear your horns. Let's hear you growl. Let's go at it.
Extra beastie.
Well, before we get into our show today, which is phenomenal, you got a little sneak peek at a restaurant last night that literally popped up out of nowhere.
It did kind of come out of nowhere. So Johnny Moniz of Comey fame mm-hmm. has opened a second restaurant, and it's right next door in the lower level. It's called Little Cerro, and this is sort of a departure
little
for him.
Little Cerro? What does Little Cerro mean?
Cerro is a breed of mountain goat from the mountain regions in Thailand. So he's actually cooking Thai
food. Oh, right. I knew that.
Food.
I knew that.
Didn't you know that?
Of course.
The Cerro, yes. Remember that from fifth grade? Yeah.
Thai class,
right.
So, but you have to, is it open yet?
It's open.
It is open. So give us a quick 411.
So the basics are it's 30 seats, walk-in only. So I'm guessing there's going to be some crazy waits to get in.
So I'm not going.
And he's cooking food from the northeast region of Thailand, which is called Isan cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very sort of spicy and sour, not a lot of the sweet, syrupy kind of sauces that we're used to.
Mm.
And for him, this is really a passion project, he said. So it's kind of, you know, a departure from the Greek heritage that he's applied at Comey.
Right.
And now he's kind of cooking the food he loves to eat.
But so is he going to be in both kitchens?
He is going to be in both kitchens. I think they're connected sort of through the back door. So he can sort of be in two places at once.
Cool.
It's right next door on the lower level of mm-hmm. the building beside Comey.
All right, great. Yeah. All right, well, we'll have to go check it out. When you said spicy, I was like, okay, maybe I'll wait on that. I'll go check it out. All right, well, we do have a terrific show for you today. In studio, we have with us Jeff Chunks of Passion Food Hospitality. They have just opened District Commons Tavern and Burger Tap and Shake. And actually, if you read the paper yesterday, you would have seen Tom Sietsema write lovingly all about it. We also have Adam Sobel. He's the executive chef at Bourbon Steak, and he's brought his cheese guy with him. We're going to be talking lots of cheeses. Ralph Lee is here from Acqua Al Due. He's pouring Italian beers. And later in the show, we're going to be talking to cookbook author Melissa Clark. She's written a slew of books, but she's just dropped her latest one, Cook This Now. And it's delicious. I can't wait to talk to her about it. But we are going to start off with our Acqua Al Due guys. We have Ralph and Chris. Come up to the mic and say your last name because I will butcher it no matter how hard I try.
It usually happens. It's Tomkiewicz.
Tomkiewicz. Well, thank you both for coming today. Now, you guys have Acqua Al Due. It's over on Capitol Hill. You know, I've been there. I was just there a couple of weeks ago. Had such a fun time. But I know, Amanda, you haven't been yet.
I have not made it over. I know. I'm sorry. Well, tell me a little bit about what you guys do over there.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us on the show. Mm-hmm. Acqua Al Due has a rich history. It actually originated in Florence, Italy. And it's been in Florence since 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And my business partner, Ari Gaydenson, and I both grew up here in D.C. And after high school, Ari moved to Italy to play professional soccer. After five years of playing soccer, he had an idea to open an American diner. The diner is
but
called...
how'd you wind... I know Ari's story, but how'd you wind up over in Italy?
So after my four, I took the more traditional route. Went to undergrad and played soccer there. And my first job out of college, Ari called me on the phone. He said, I'm opening this diner. Come help me out. I need you.
A diner in Florence.
I know.
Florence,
that sounds like
owned
a
by
really,
soccer players.
I like it.
It sounds like a really, like, just a bum job. Yeah. You know, it just does.
Yeah, I mean, it was an opportunity I had to jump on. So I moved out to Florence, and we opened the diner together in 2005.
Excuse me one second. Andy, you're going to have to punch in with the Italian words, because David isn't here to speak Italian. My husband lived in Florence for several years, and he speaks Italian.
And I can't sub in for him.
Oh, my God, no.
I can do French-Italian. We'll try that.
So tell us quickly, how did you guys get in with the Acqua al Due guys?
So the diner was located right down the street from Acqua al Due, and we developed a great relationship with them. We respected each other, and it developed into a partnership where they're now running our American diner, and we moved back home in 2008 and subsequently opened Acqua al Due here in 2010.
Okay.
So Ari, for those 2 years, was working in the kitchen in Florence at Acqua. Mm-hmm. And he now runs our kitchen, and we co-own the restaurant together.
Okay, well,
that's a really nice kind of personal story. I mean, sometimes when you hear of a restaurant coming from some far-flung place, you know, you assume, oh, it's a chain. Oh, they're franchising
corporate
across the country. Mm-hmm. But that's a really neat personal story.
It is. It's really nice.
It's been quite a journey for both of us, and we're thrilled to be back in our hometown.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear more about what you guys are doing at Acqua al Due and, you know, how it works in Florence and what you're preparing. Tell us more about what you're preparing here. But you did just launch an Italian beer program. Can we just quickly give us like a, tell us what you're going to pour, but tell us why you're going to pour.
Absolutely. Our Italian beer, craft beer program now has 13 all Italian craft beers on our list. Mm-hmm. Italian craft beer has kind of popped up out of nowhere over the past 5 years or so, over 300, you know, close to 400 microbrews in Italy.
Wow, that's sort
amazing.
Of known for wine, but this
right.
is a new this
exactly.
is a new thing there.
So we're happy to bring these craft brews here. Chris, actually our beverage manager, is going to be
Chris
talking a little
Tom
bit.
Chris Tomkowitz. Come on, man. Tell us what you're going to pour, cuz we got to get in with Chef.
So first I'm going to start with our Chaka Rubica, which is a chocolate malted beer from Piemonte.
I think I can say that. Chakarubica.
And you can lift up the mic. You don't have to bend down. You're tall.
All right. I'm a little tall for this.
There you go.
So I'm going to go ahead and pour that and start with that.
Excellent. All right. Well, you're pouring, let's bring in our first guest. Well, he's here. Jeff Tonks. I can't believe from Passion Food Hospitality, with all these restaurants that you have all around the city, that this is your first time.
Oh, I know it.
In studio with us. I thought you were in with us before.
No, sorry. My first time, but I'm glad to be here.
Oh, well, we like virgins. It's okay.
That's right. So do I.
That's for another show.
That's another show. Another segment. Late Night Radio.
Okay, so Passion Food Hospitality, Saba.
Cadiana.
DC Coast.
DC Coast, Passion
now,
Fish.
Yep, the now closed, unfortunately.
Ten Pen, yes.
We're so sorry, but you have just...
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
That's right. You got to prune sometimes the grows.
Just launched your latest restaurant.
Right.
District Commons. So tell us, I mean, you've dabbled in, you have seafood, you dabbled in Latin, you did Asian. What was the concept going into District Commons?
Well, this is our third time with Boston Properties, our landlord. So we just have a great location in Washington Circle, and we thought, you know, we want to expand our brand to that area, especially with the university being there and stuff. So we decided to do sort of an American tavern, focus on American craft beers. We have 20 on tap, and we have 99 bottles of beer on the wall that we feature American beer.
I heard that somewhere before.
I know.
That's right.
You know, somebody
like
should write a song.
Yeah, not really, on the way to the Grand Canyon. Then we also decided it's such a big, long space, it's such a visible corner that we wanted to do, you know, sort of bring another younger brand with our fast casual kiosk with Burger Tap and Shake. So we knew it was a very saturated, no pun intended, burger market here with Bobby Flay and BRG and everything else. But we decided to really focus on doing everything in-house from scratch. So you know, we're doing grass-fed Pineland beef that we grind fresh daily, homemade buns, homemade pickles, homemade sauerkraut, pickled jalapenos, french fries, ice cream for the milkshake program. So
So I'm drooling now.
Right, yeah. I know where we're going for lunch.
pre-lunch.
Well, but let's talk about that. I mean, because you have this restaurant, District Commons, how many people does it sit?
Probably around 200.
Okay, and then you have the burger place next door.
Right.
I don't mean this naively, but I am sort of curious. I mean, why make all the buns? Why make all the pickles? I mean, is it just that superior of a product?
I think so, yes. It really is, and it's a lot cheaper. Labor's higher, but I think it's people are really, you know, it's like I said, it's very competitive, and I think that comes down to the taste. I mean, the buns are incredible. That's the big difference, I think. And of course, the quality of the beef, grinded fresh almost hourly. I mean, the vibrancy of the color and the way it the taste, everything else.
But you have a cool grind. Your grind, it's not just... No, we call
it, right. It's a blend of Pineland Farms, which is a co-op of the Mid-Atlantic area in the Northeast. It's a blend of chuck and brisket. So we're doing usually about three parts chuck and one part brisket.
Why brisket?
It has that just,
I think that's cool.
Well, it just got good, that really good beef flavor, that deep beef flavor, and a little bit of extra fat. So.
And why grass-fed?
It's just, I think that's what people are wanting. They want to know where their beef is coming from. We checked with Creekstone Farms. We did La Freda. We did Pineland. And because of the proximity to the farms, the closest one being in Warrenton that they co-op from, and the quality flavor, basically. So it's just a combination of the quality and the flavor, too.
Well, and I think people know when they hear grass-fed, you know it's pasture-raised,
right,
which means certified humane almost. I mean, whether the certification is there, you know they're humanely treated.
It's called Never Ever Beef. It's never been on antibiotics or steroids and this type of thing. So it really is just a healthy
find
version.
People are starting to ask for that
Most definitely.
Does that make you feel good?
Yes, it does.
It makes me feel good.
And all our to-go stuff, I mean, next to the university there, everybody's really wanting to be aware and stuff. So all of our packaging is compostable. You know, greenware and stuff. So it's more expensive, but I think you have to do that in this day and age.
Well, so now back to the restaurant.
Right.
Here's one of the things I love about the restaurant. All right, wait. I won't get to my favorite part of the restaurant. So you have this beer program.
Right.
Now, that's kind of new for you guys.
It is. And it's, you know, we're fortunate. So we have the footprint for the restaurant. So we have the same 20 beers on tap at District Commons that we have at Burger Tap and Shake. So we have over a mile of beer lines in the restaurant.
I was going to say, is it just running?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's down from our, actually the loading dock area that we share with Whole Foods. So so we have 40 tavern heads, so 20 at District Commons and 20 at BTS. And so the only problem is when AC Beverage comes out to clean out the lines, so we have all this beer that's, of course, entrapped that we need to get out of the lines.
A long, long line.
That's right.
Can you even imagine cleaning that?
Like, yeah, what is the process?
I'm not around that time of night.
That's
usually
one of those, like, how it's made
shows. Right, how it's
that's
done.
Right. Yeah. Dirtiest jobs or something.
Yeah, dirtiest
jobs.
Do it. And you also have a cocktail program.
We do. It's
and that's kind of new for
it's
you all, too.
Our wine list is all-American. Our back bar is all-American spirit list. We do have some usual suspects that people are demanding, like Grey Goose and Kettle One for myself, mostly, on the rail. But
people meaning you.
That's right. People meaning me. But
those
it's,
people.
Yeah, so it's all-American. We're looking back at some traditional drinks, you know, like Manhattans and things like that. So everything's done in-house. I mean, all the cherries that we're doing for the cocktails, all the onions we're doing for the cocktails. So it's really about pickling and a lot of different things.
So it's a real labor of love.
It is.
All from scratch. I like it.
That's right.
And you've got your shake tails. Now, back to, I feel like we're, I'm schizophrenic talking about.
I know.
You left us hanging. You left us hanging.
I like the shake tail. All right, I'm going to go back to District Commons. So my favorite thing is the 10 o'clock bell.
Yeah.
The dinner bell.
The dinner bell, yeah.
So, because a lot of people, maybe everybody knows, I don't know if they do, but in the restaurant world, there is a family meal.
Right.
Some do it after service, some do it before. But you've sort of instituted this new
We opened it up to the public, right? We wanted to bring some life and energy to the restaurant late night. And so we do sort of a Monday through Sunday theme type of thing that we do. Monday's my mom's meatloaf. And, you know, like Friday's everybody's favorite because it's payday and it's pupusas. So my staff, that's their favorite in the back. So Saturday's Huevos Rancheros because you're skipping breakfast the next day. And then Sunday is, we haven't opened yet. Sunday's the first Sunday, will be the first Sunday of December.
Okay.
But that's winter chicken dinner. We're doing cast iron fried chicken with Crisco.
I wish you brought the bell with you so we could bring it.
It's big.
And
it's
so
like, it's like 40 pound bell.
Well, how does it work? Is there really a bell right at
the It is. I bought a Prindle Station cast iron bell. It's called a farm bell or a dinner bell. And it's not the triangle come to get it type thing, but we mount it near our.
No, it's a big.
It's a large cast iron barrel with a metal chain, and 10 o'clock at night, I ring it pretty loud and let people know that if you're in the lounge or bar area that we've opened up the staff meal to the public. So
all right, I have to ask this question for my husband because he was like, I don't get it. He's like, if it's staff meal, can people still eat? I'm like, yes, it's for everybody.
Right.
He's like, so who's serving? I'm like, so can you ask the staff meal?
It's mostly for the back of the house staff. You know, our wait staff and servers, we offer them our food at half price so they can learn the menu and stuff. So it's mostly stuff that we're feeding ourselves in the kitchen. So at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Sundays ring, but 10 o'clock, that's when we open it up, and it's for the lounge guests and bar only.
Cool. All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I see root beer. And I want to hear about it. And that pretzel roll.
And a pretzel roll that looks beckoning. It's staring at us.
So the homemade beer mustard butter that we serve it with.
Okay, we're going to pass it over during the break. This is Nikki Nellis with Amanda McClements, My New Beast. We will be back in just a sec.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson. And you notice not just the differences, but the similarities. Like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a farm fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy farm fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have with me Amanda McClements. My beast is off and running. I don't know where he is, but lucky me. I got the great Metricurian.
You should call the pound.
I know, that's a good idea. No, you know what? Let somebody else adopt him. I'm okay with that. But we've been talking with Jeff Chunks of Passion Food Hospitality. He just opened two new restaurants. He gave birth to twins,
yes,
basically, at one time. District Commons, Burger Tap and Shake. Now, I see some root beer.
Yep.
And I want to know why you're making your own root beer.
Well, we're actually now, it's a proprietary bottle for us through Old Dominion doing it for us. But
okay.
In District Commons, we actually have this nice beer paddle that we do a beer flight, but I use the same glasses to do miniature root beer float, like a flight of root beer float.
Oh,
and
fun.
Then we serve the same beer, the same root beer at BTS for a regular-sized root beer float, or just if you want root beer to go with your hamburger.
Right. Well, and Amanda has shown...
Beer.
I know you do. Amanda has shown terrific restraint by not tearing into that pretzel roll.
Yeah, okay, let's set you brought in.
Yes.
So
let's
talk about the pretzel roll, and then I need you to give a big shout-out and explain where your places are and how people can find you.
Okay, this is our part of our bread service here. We actually do charge for it, but it's people are loving it. It's a it's a traditional German-made
live-dripped
pretzel roll, and then we're finishing off in our wood stone oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then just brush it with a little bit of butter, then the coarse pretzel salt.
Oh,
and then
the
we make
smell.
A homemade beer mustard, and traditional beer mustard, and then we whip that into sweet butter, and then it's a great compliment, I tell you. It's, you know, you sit down with our great beer program at this, the bar. We're actually going to be doing for our bar food, making sort of a homemade bratwurst po' boy using this.
That sounds terrible.
I've had Jamie Stokowski's making
it.
He makes a 5-inch diameter bratwurst that we sell as a badger. We call the bratwurst burger over at BTS. So I'm going to cut into a rectangle and then homemade sauerkraut, the beer mustard itself, and a little bit of Swiss cheese on top. It's like a bratwurst po' boy almost.
Wow.
With the
I would
bread.
Be addicted to these. I would eat like a whole one every day.
And I love this mustard with the butter. It's like you don't have to choose between.
Right. It's the best of both worlds.
Right.
You know,
one or
it
the
sort
other.
Of tempers down the heat of the butter a little bit.
Yeah. I've never seen that before. That's a really, really nice combination.
It is. It works really well.
Yeah. It's great. So, yeah, we're located at 2200 Pennsylvania. We're in the new complex where Whole Foods
that
and stuff
gorgeous,
is.
Gorgeous.
Right on the circle.
Complex.
It's the most visible restaurant in the city, I think. So, you know,
what a bad location.
I know. It's
I mean,
horrible
seriously?
Right there with the metro and the hospital and the university
the college.
And everything. You know, that's just horrible.
And so Burger Tap and Shake is right next door.
It's right on 23rd and Washington Circle, and it's just basically joins the restaurant. So we have the kitchen's like the spine of the two-headed beast there at the thing. So we're having a good time with it, though.
Good.
So.
Well, we can't wait to come back in. Thanks
so
much for coming
in
today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
All right, Aqua El Due, guys. I'm going to have you step up to the mic. We have Melissa Clark on the phone, and she has a short amount of time, so we're going to go to her quickly. But I know you've got some more beer to pour, so tell us what our next Italian kind of beer is.
Well, the next beer we're going to pour is our Demon Hunter. It's an American-style IPA. Nice fruity, not too hoppy. Goes well with charcuterie, meats, a little bit of fat to
what
it.
What about pretzel rolls?
Pretzel rolls. I was staring at that the whole time and
well,
trying to grab it.
Well, you can come get some.
We'll share.
We share.
But it's a pretty versatile beer for what I'm saying.
Okay, great. All right. Well, while you're pouring that, we're going to talk with Melissa. Melissa, are you on the phone?
I am.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Nikki. Great to be here.
Well, so Melissa, normally my husband David is the beast is on with me, but he is out today. So I have with me Amanda McClemens. And the two of us were going through your book yesterday on the phone and talking about it. And I actually have a girlfriend who lives in Park Slope, and I called her. I'm like, do you know Melissa Clark? Because if you don't, I think you should start stalking her and become friends with her. She has children your age. You need to find each other because I want to be friends with you.
Oh, that's hilarious. You know what? Tell her to look for me at the farmer's market because I'm seriously there every Saturday.
I'm going to tell her to look for you.
That's where she can do her stalking.
Yeah, she's going to be stalking you. You'll see Karen stalking you. So, you know, listen, you have over 30 books under your belt, which is so impressive given how young you are. Cook This Now, your new book. What was it that you were looking to do that you haven't done in your 30 previous cookbooks?
Well, you know, most of those books were co-authored with chefs, and they were a great education for me. I mean, I learned so much working with David Boulay and Danielle Boulud and a lot of other, you know, great culinary stars.
Boy, you really work with hacks. I don't know how you wound up. I mean, that must have been really tough for you.
It was, you know, it was this amazing tutorial. I mean, people always say, oh, did you go to cooking school? And I say, no, I was actually tutored by the best chefs in the world.
Not so bad.
One tutorials when
not
I was
a bad way to learn.
Which was really great. But what they were my own recipes. And I have a column in the New York Times called A Good Appetite, where we do very home cook friendly, simple recipes, you know, the stuff that I really crave, the stuff I make at home. But they're also, you know, they're very specifically geared toward the times. And what I wanted to do in my latest book, Cook This Now, was give a reflection of how I really cook at home for myself, for my family. I have a husband and a 3-year-old daughter. I don't have a lot of time because, you know, I work full time, more than full time, as most people do these days, and I have a kid. And so the food that I cook is unfussy. It's extremely simple, but it's all very high flavor, very delicious, healthful too, because, you know, we try to eat more healthfully with whole grains. And it's seasonal because, as I just said, you know, I love going to the farmer's market and I love cooking the foods that are in season because they taste better. You know, they're better for you. And I just thought, you know what, let's do it. Let me do a cookbook that shows what I really make. And I think a lot of people can relate to this kind of cooking, you know, whole, nutritious, amazingly good food that doesn't take you a lot of time. Like, who wouldn't want that? And that was what Cook This Now is.
Well, and as I'm a mother of 5 kids, so I can complete, I work full time, so I can completely relate to you. But I think what I found really interesting in your dishes, first of all, I love the seasonality of it. And we were talking about that in studio earlier. I mean, more and more people are looking for grass-fed or, you know, things in season. And your book lays it out so beautifully by doing recipes month by month. But I'll tell you what really caught my eye, and I cannot wait to make it. The mallow bars.
Oh, my God. So good, right? It's... Okay, that's not a seasonal recipe. That's just a delicious recipe.
My father, I mean, grew up in Philadelphia. Mallow bars are – you said mallow bars are seasonal, which I don't know about because they're in my parents' house 24/7. But I cannot wait to make it for him.
I thought you can't get them in the summer. I thought you can only get them in the winter.
I don't know. Maybe he keeps a stash, like, in the cellar.
He must stockpile. Well, and the picture is beautiful. It's this lofty marshmallow bar that you make. And how did you come up with that recipe?
Well, you know, I love Malamars, you know, one of my favorite cookies, but I wanted to do something. I like to make my own desserts. I like to make things a little more healthful. So, I changed it around a little bit. In a regular Malamar, you've got a sugar cookie on the bottom. You know, it's a spongy vanilla cookie with marshmallow and chocolate. And so I decided to do a graham cracker, a homemade graham cracker, because first of all, I love homemade graham crackers. They're so good. And it has whole wheat flour. So, you know, it's sort of like, oh, if it has whole wheat flour, and then maybe I can eat two. And
the justifications we make.
Right? How do we lie to ourselves? No, but really, it just, I like the flavor of whole wheat flour a lot. So it's a graham cracker, yummy, spicy. It's got all those great, you know, cinnamon flavors of graham cracker. And then the fluffy marshmallow. And then it's just a simple chocolate coating on top. And, you know, the reason I thought of it is because I did set out to write a seasonal cookbook. Everything is arranged seasonally. And I was sort of thinking, well, what are seasonal desserts? And
right.
I thought of Malamars. You can only, at least traditionally, maybe you can get them all year long. But when I was growing up, you could only get them in the winter because in the summer, the chocolate coating would start to melt.
Oh, right.
So that's why I always thought of them as a winter food, and I thought of them as seasonal. So it was sort of like a little bit of a joke on seasonal eating. It's like, haha, because, you know, I mean, I love to eat healthfully, but I really love dessert.
Well, there's nothing. Listen, you can still eat very healthy. I mean, clearly, given your book, I mean, there's lots of really scrumptious things in there. And in fact, Amanda pointed out she loved all the adjectives in every.
And all the titles. Mm-hmm. It's crispy and spicy and
creamy.
Creamy, yeah.
And, you know, everything just sounds delicious just by the title. It's like, oh, I want to check that out. I want to see what it is. But, you know, Amanda and I were also talking. I mean, I'm a recipe follower. I love to cook. Amanda does too. But you really play with your food.
Yeah, I play with it a little bit. And trying to come up with original recipes and things can be really challenging, but, you know, a lot of fun because it's sort of trial and error. So I think.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought was interesting with you, especially with the baking, that you really do play with your food, that you're not following a recipe, you're really creating. Tell me a little bit about your creative process.
It very, very trial and error, kind of like anybody. I mean, for me, I have a more informed starting place just because I, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've had these great tutorials, and I've really learned a lot about what food can do and what it can't do and how to combine flavors. But at the same time, I'm just kind of, you know, I really start in my kitchen with the same question I always ask myself: what am I hungry for? What do I want to make for dinner? That's question number one. And then question number two is, what do I have on hand? What's in the fridge? What's in the cabinets? And so the creative process is, you know, equal parts number one and number two. What I want when what I've got.
Right.
And then, you
necessity.
Know, I play with it from there. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, seasonality enters into it because what I have in the fridge is usually, I try to make it seasonal. So, you know, right now what I have in my fridge, I've got, well, on the counter, actually, I've got amazing winter squashes. I've got acorn squash, and I've got this gorgeous Hubbard squash, which just look crazy and taste so good, and delicatas. I've got a fridge full of kale and Swiss chard, all those dark.
Now, your 3-year-old eats all the squash?
She eats a squash. Sweet. You know what? If you mash it up and you put some cinnamon and some butter in it, yeah, she totally eats it. She eats sweet potatoes. She loves that stuff. The leafy greens, yeah, not so much. Although, kale chips. Have you ever tried
kale? That's what I was going to say. My kids eat kale. We have kale chips easily 2 or 3 times a week. I mean, kids eat them
amazing.
Like nobody's business.
Right. They think they're potato chips.
Exactly.
They have no idea. She just eats them and doesn't even realize.
And they're everywhere these days. Kale chips are taking over.
They are. Yeah. They're the new chip. Well, especially those dehydrated ones. Which I'm obsessed
They're really
with.
Easy to make, though, in your oven. Like, you really, I mean, you can even buy, have you ever seen in the supermarket, you can actually buy bags of pre-washed
yes,
kale?
Yes, the, like, rainbow kale. I buy it.
So easy.
I know.
Right? And then you just, you know, make sure the trick to kale chips, this is really important, you got to dry the kale well. Because if there's any moisture clinging to the leaves, when you put it in the oven, it's going to steam rather than get crispy. So what I like to do is I open the bag, I just lay it out on a big dish towel, and just let it air dry for, like, 15 minutes while the oven's preheating, and just kind of gets it, like, really dry. And then I toss it with oil, and I massage the oil and the salt. And I like to put cumin on mine, which my kid will eat.
Ooh, that sounds great.
That does
sound
it's
good. Really good. And I'll just massage that in to really get it well coated and well seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll put it in the oven, and it's just, oh my God.
Well, so very quickly, because I know you're in a rush, and we are going to have to take a break in a couple secs. Just tell everybody where they can find this book, and are you going to be doing a book tour with this?
I'm on book tour right now. I'll be coming to D.C. in early December.
Oh, when in December? Do you know?
You know what? Everyone can look on my website. It's melissaclark.net. And
excellent.
If you go to events, it'll be listed there. I think it's December 6th, but I'm not 100% sure. I should have known this. But
really?
Yeah, come and see me. And you can also buy my book. It's called Cook This Now. And, you know, your local bookstore will have it. And, you know, go support your local bookstore.
Absolutely. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was great having you. And the book is really wonderful. We love it. And we wish you the best of luck.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We just finished with Melissa Clark, but when we come back, we are going to be drinking some real Italian beer, and I think we're breaking into some cheese. We'll be back in just a sec.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a farm fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy farm fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
The price of gas was really taking its toll on my wallet.
Oh, hey, Shelly.
So, to save some money, I've started taking the bus that sort of goes by my office.
Mom, stop talking. You're embarrassing me.
Did I mention it's my daughter's school bus? There, I just did. Hey, a penny saved.
Stop it.
Penny earned.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Hi, this is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. And as I have mentioned, I am beastless today. I have with me Amanda McClements, who is way more attractive than the Beast. But we're having so much fun in studio. We're chomping on pretzel rolls. We're sipping a little beer.
It's like Oktoberfest in here, though it's November. Beer, pretzels, cheese.
We're keeping the holiday going.
Yeah.
We'll keep it going on as long as we can. We just talked with Melissa Clark, who has her new book, Cook This Now, and Jeff Tunks earlier. But we want to get back to Acqua al Due and Ralph. Ralph, tell us why. I mean, I know you're an Italian restaurant, of course, right out of Florence. But is an Italian beer program, is that big in Italy? What made you guys start it up in here in D.C.?
Well, it's we believe it's something that not too many people are doing right now. Mm-hmm. And with all the new beer programs and fun ways to bring people in, this is a great way to get a little exposure for our restaurant and to educate people about what's going on in Italy. You know, like I said before, all the different craft brews that have popped up over the past 10 years. So we want to bring that here to D.C.
So. Well, excuse me. So let me ask you, like the wine in Italy, is the beers regional?
The beers are actually very regional, and like I said, we have 13 on our menu. Mm-hmm. Chris can expand a little bit more about the specifics of where they're all from.
Kind of fascinating, because I mean, I think I would be hard-pressed to name
Peroni.
Two or three,
Peroni,
you know, Italian beers.
Right.
So it's really something that I feel like American beer drinkers
are
not
familiar
with.
That's what a lot
with.
Of people think it only exists. So when people see something new on tap, they don't have no clue what that is. Another Italian beer. Really?
Yeah.
Peroni's the only one I know. But a lot of the Italian beers come along the northern belt, so it's kind of like a lot of German, Austrian influence, mm-hmm. even some French. But like wine...
Which makes sense, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, given the beer scene in Germany,
mm-hmm.
you know.
In Europe in general,
in
I
Europe
guess.
In general.
They like
Italy.
Beer over there, right? As much as wine.
But like the wine is just as artisanal and equally comparable with food. So, I mean, you can have beer all the way through and mm-hmm. have a dinner with that, where people will have no clue that... You can just drink beer instead of wine, which
right.
is a good
well,
thing.
I have a question, because in the U.S., obviously, people are getting more comfortable with the idea of beer pairings, with pairing fine food with beer. Mm-hmm. Are they doing that in Italy as well?
I believe so. All the beer houses that I've been on my visits, people drink beer all the way through instead of mm-hmm. wine. especially late night, much like they do here at any of the beer houses in D.C.
So it's really global at this point. Well, maybe not
I think
global.
It's become a lot more global. It's a lot more of the slow food. People are more in tune with local, fresh produce, things like that, and especially with drink as well.
Well, okay, so you poured this beer for us. Tell us a little bit about it.
So the Demon Hunter that I poured before is an IPA. It's going to have a lot more fruit-forward nose to it, really mild on the hops. So it's
and where is it from?
This is going to be from Piemonte, so it's going to be the northern region. On
takes
the Italian
there.
Sea.
Yes. It takes me right there.
Takes you right there.
Sun shining.
Yes.
Hillside. Little villages.
But it's definitely a really good food beer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can notice that it can go with any cheeses. Like, I'm interested in trying some cheese a little bit.
All right, now you're going to pour another one for us. What are you going
to
pour
The next one I'm going to try is going to be, it's called the Turbata Almond 22, which is more of a Scotch-like beer.
Ooh.
Interestingly enough, so you can kind of have that consumer.
Everybody's ears.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I
know. Like,
Scotch.
People are going to pull up that cigar soon enough, too.
Scotch beer.
But yeah, it's made from peated malts and kind of has, it's a nice mild ale, but it can replace that Scotch at the end or for the bourbon drinker that wants to try something different, especially with the seasonal weather coming up, too, which would be nice.
All right. Well, you get to pouring that.
All right.
And you better pour one for Chef Sobel because he was like looking at our beer and he was like, where's my beer?
We're actually not going to share this time around. So,
to drool.
So in studio with us, we have Adam Sobel and Brent Balaika.
Balaika. Almost.
Oh, my
so
God.
Close.
It was so close. Balaika. I wasn't looking, and I thought I could just do it. The pastry chef. Both of you guys are from Michael Mina's Bourbon Steak down at the Four Seasons. Adam, have you been in before?
I haven't. First time here.
Oh, my God. We are just filled with people who have never been in before. It's unbelievable. And I know, Brent, you haven't been in either. So let's just give everybody a quick 411 on both of you. Adam, tell us a little bit about your background, how you wound up here. Give us a quick one. Thank you.
Well, I'm originally from New York. Mm-hmm. I grew up working through some great restaurants in Manhattan and then decided to head to the CIA, went through culinary training there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved about the country. I was in Chicago, San Francisco, Atlanta, and then the last 8 years I was in Las Vegas. So,
sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Vegas, baby.
Unbelievable 8-year run in Vegas. And that's kind of where Brent and I connected.
Brent, you were in Vegas too?
Yes, I was.
How long were you in Vegas?
Almost 7 years.
Seven years.
On and off.
And you worked together in Vegas?
Yeah. Well, we both worked at Charlie Trotter's previously, but not at the same time. So we opened up Bradley Ogden's in 2003. And Brent came out. He was a chef de partie. And
that seems to fit you.
At that time,
the party part.
Right.
Yeah. Chef de partie.
And things kind of evolved from
That's
there.
That's not what that means.
I know, but it's, if you don't translate it, it sounds good.
It really it does fit him well.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
So,
that's what they call them
we
all
had a
in
really
Vegas.
Successful restaurant there. Bradley Ogden's won a James Beard Award for Best New Restaurant in America.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was doing a dinner at the Beard House in New York, and I asked Brent if he could make me a fresh cheese for a cheese course I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he produced this cow's milk, like a ricotta salata, and I made a beet cannelloni with that. And that was the start of the reason why we're kind of here today about our cheese program.
A beautiful progression of stinky cheeses. And...
Well, so did you two come to Bourbon Steak at the same time? You came first?
About a month apart.
Mm-hmm.
I came out here in January. And obviously, there were some really big shoes to fill. Dave Varley did an incredible job, and he's one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how am I going to come here, make an impact, do something different, take this restaurant to another level? And it really was a no-brainer. I thought about Brent's talents, what he can do with cheese, and how we can kind of change the restaurant scene. And, well, our goal is to, like, make an impact nationally, and I think we're on the right track.
So let's get the concept. So you wanted to make your own cheeses. This is both of you together, your own cheeses in house.
Right.
Why? I mean, aren't there enough good cheeses?
Why not?
No, why not? I know. You know what I mean. Like, was there a flavor you were missing, or is it just a passion of yours that you really wanted to get into? What is it?
For me, it was. I mean, I grew up in a family of cooks. I mean, nobody in the industry, but I'm from Chicago, but a lot of my family's from Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in my grandma's kitchen. I grew up in my mom's kitchen. Mm-hmm. I always cooked. I always was peeling potatoes from everything. So I grew up with a passion of food. And one thing that I've really held near and dear is history of food, mm-hmm. where things come from. For me, when I started at Charlie Trotter's, I was a 19-year-old kid, had no idea about anything. You know, I could barely peel a carrot. Yeah, I thought I did. You know, I'm going to go work in one of the best restaurants at the time in the country, if not the world. And they put me in charge of the cheese program. Mm-hmm. And it was my first experience with 50 different types of cheeses from all across the world. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of French cheeses, but we'd find all these obscure ones from like Greece that you would never even hear of, and I've never even heard of again. But it opened my eyes to, you know, being a Midwestern, I know cheddar. I love cheese. I knew cheddar.
Right.
And cheese curds. So
it opened my Velveeta.
Gotta love the Velveeta. But it opened my eyes to how do you take such a bland ingredient. Milk's very bland. Mm-hmm. I mean, and create something that has such an array of different qualities and flavors and textures.
I've never thought about it in those terms that milk is this somewhat bland, somewhat flavorless thing, and then you turn it into these beautiful varieties.
Well, and I think people, when they eat cheese, in the back of their mind, they know it's milk, but they don't process it that way. Mm-hmm. Do you know that you really are changing texture and taste and manipulating it in so many different ways?
Yeah. So basically, I ended up starting from there. I asked if I could start producing cheeses at that restaurant. You know, little kid trying to. They said no way. They said no way. And for great reasons. Mm-hmm. But so I started doing it all myself. I started buying books, learning, making fresh cheeses at home. Ricottas and all different kinds of fresh cheeses, and then went to Bradley Ogden's. And here you have there at that time we had a ton of young aspiring chefs, Adam Sobel, Gerald Chin, Sven Mead, who runs American Fish, mm-hmm. Dave Varley, myself, and a bunch of us, that no one could tell us no. We just won the best new restaurant in the country. Literally no one could tell us no.
We had no food costs.
No.
Invincible.
Yeah.
Carte blanche. Do what you want.
We would cook with Cristal. It was dumb.
And then the economy crashed.
So we started sourcing out everything we could, and we started getting in sheep's milk from Utah and, grape milks from, California. Mm-hmm. And I started doing some cheeses there.
Great. And how are you doing that here now? Like, so at Bourbon Steak, I mean, this is a totally new program. You started it a couple months ago.
I started
7 months ago? Probably 7 months.
So what's, I think some of these cheeses take time. I mean, what's the process? How does it work?
Well, I mean, all the cheeses on our plate today, mm-hmm. they're actually quicker cheeses. I mean, up to 2 months.
Okay.
So I say quick cheese. That's part of the, that was my learning process is patience. I don't have patience.
Right.
I'm twitchy.
I have no patience right now. I don't understand why Amanda's not cutting.
Cuts into wheels before they're ready.
Hand me a knife.
It takes time. And that's, it took time for me to learn it. I've been doing cheese now for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rice food. And, right.
Did you work with any specific cheese makers? Like, did you taste anybody's cheese and be like, genius, must meet with this person?
I mean, I've met some cheesemakers. I've met, people from like Point Reyes or
Cherry Glen.
I just moved out here. Mm-hmm. And a few others across the country.
Before I put this in my mouth, it looks like I'm going to put butter in my mouth.
That's triple cream.
Yeah, that's our three cream. Mm-hmm. It basically is butter. It's very mild, very smooth, decadent. Taste of fresh cream, straw, mushrooms.
Nikki, that's world class right there. Honestly, I mean, and I don't say this because it's our restaurant, but Brent is doing stuff that is just, it's special. So.
And how are you using it? I mean, other than the cheese plate, which, years ago, that was a joke. Mm-hmm. And people in this city have really jumped on board, and you can find some really good cheese programs in the city. We've had several people in studio doing, you know, we had the Firefly Farm guys in. Thank you,
eat
my
some
assistant.
More cheese.
Thank you. You know, there are people doing really great stuff. Other than the cheese plate, how are you using cheese and sort of educating the palates of D.C.?
Well, on the regular menu, in the summertime, we were doing our own feta. It was like we had this beautiful like garden vegetables with marinated feta that we were making in-house with crispy squash blossoms.
Yum! That is so good. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So there, at any given time, we have homemade cheeses that we incorporate onto the regular menu. Mm-hmm. Like for a side right now, we're doing Path Valley beets with sautéed beet greens and then Brent's sheep's milk ricotta salata grated on top of them. Mm-hmm. So there's always something on the menu besides just what's going on the cheese course side of things. Mm-hmm. So we always try to incorporate that into the regular savory side.
Okay, wait, we have to take a break.
I'm sort of in heaven
throat,
right now.
I know, my throat is like coated. It feels so good. we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the rest of cheeses you have here. And of course, I want to hear more about what your fall menu is like right now at Bourbon Steak. And I think there's one more beer in my future.
More
our future.
Beer.
This is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. And of course, Metric Curian, who's subbing in today for the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mark Gold of The Gold Group, who advises affluent individuals and family-owned businesses on insurance needs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at OFPlaw.com.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. It is a party in the studio. We have all these gorgeous cheeses and some fantastic beer, the Scotch beer.
It's incredible,
me away.
Smoky. And the cheese has disappeared almost
quickly
since the break.
Well, you know, it's closer to you, and I'm having a problem with that. I feel like David for a moment here.
I'm sharing.
You're good. You're doing a very nice job cutting it up. Guys from Bourbon Steak, Brent and Adam, tell us now what we can find on the menu for fall. And I want to get also a 411 on everything else here. But let's start it with the fall menu.
So fall menu has taken full effect. We just re-implemented our charcuterie program. So
Where did it go?
Well, it went away because we ran through everything. So I had to bring in another hog.
People ate it all.
So we brought a hog in and we did like 12 different types of sausages, salumis, all kinds of cool stuff.
You guys have the space downstairs to...
We find it. We make it happen.
Yeah, really. I mean, the cheese program,
the hotel,
charcuterie program.
You know, if we have to take over a ballroom,
a suite.
Then we do
the presidential suite.
The presidential suite. Is that where you make the cheese in the Four Seasons presidential suite?
They gave me a
suite.
What does
it go for? Like $40,000 a night or something like that?
That's some expensive cheese.
Yes, it
undisclosed.
Is.
And then, so the charcuterie, that kind of coincides with the cheese. Mm-hmm. We've got, I mean, obviously, the restaurant's known for its, you know, large cuts of meat, but we're doing some really innovative, forward-thinking cuisine also. We've got a great glazed sweetbread and seared bay scallop dish we're doing with bacon marmalade and cauliflower.
Ooh.
We're doing a Peking-style squab. We whole roast of squab in the style of Peking duck. Present it tableside, break that down,
maybe
and do
we'll
that with some
lots of
Singapore street noodle. I've got a great venison dish hitting the menu this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
White truffles get in today. We're actually going to make a white truffle camembert that will be ready after Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
Which we do for the entire table, and I come and shave white truffles tableside.
So I read about that. That's an expensive little venture.
That is. But
I mean, worth it.
Hey.
Right. If you got
so is there white truffle in the camembert?
Yes. Yeah, there is.
Wow.
It's,
so it
special.
Does everything, like it must just be so fragrant.
It's super fragrant.
It's big, right?
It's really awesome. So we're looking forward to people indulging in that.
Well,
the menu is always evolving, though. I mean, we change dishes every 3 weeks or so.
Well, and I can just say as a regular diner, and I'm sure Amanda can back me up, even though it's bourbon steak, that's, to me, I never have... I don't think I've ever had steak at the restaurant. Maybe once I did when you first opened.
We have a lot of guests that say that, actually.
You know, there's just, it's such a varied menu. And
it's so much more than that.
It is so much more than that. Yeah. I mean, it's really an unfair title, you know, name for your restaurant. Because I do find, personally, in that field, you know, if you go to a steakhouse, there's not a lot for women. You know, it's steak or they give you salmon. Or they give you
that's
little...
very cliche, Nikki.
I know, or the filet, which with the lady like the filet.
The petite filet.
Which really pisses me off.
Or I love when I order the steak and my husband orders the fish and they put the steak down in front of him. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Seriously?
And
he gets the pink cocktail and I get the beer.
Right.
You know, and they put it in front of, you know. You've
there's a
there.
Lot of judgment going on. Right. But my point is that there's such a wide variety on the menu that it's, you know, it's not just steak. It is so much more. We are unfortunately going to have to wrap it up. You need to tell us everything we're looking at.
So we get in sheep's, cow, and goat's milk.
Mm-hmm.
Our sheep's milk comes from Border Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And our cow and goat's milk comes from Trickling Springs.
We've had Craig in.
Yeah, Craig's an awesome
guy. With the
guy.
Staff. He's awesome.
With Border Springs.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's from Southern Virginia. And then the cow and goat's milk come from Trickling Springs, which is just over the border in Pennsylvania. So on the plate, we have our sheep's milk Robiola.
Mm-hmm.
That's with the olive tapenade and various herbs from our own garden out back.
She's like, I haven't cut into that.
And the next one was when you're all dying over, which is the triple cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much gone.
It's gone. And what is Amanda cutting into right
it
now?
It was the triple cream.
That's our Robiola.
The Robiola. So she was right.
Yeah.
Chef, keep your hands away. And one last one. That is
our polar bear. Mm-hmm. So it's a camembert in style. One of my nicknames is the polar bear.
I get it. Like ERT, polar bear?
Yes, right. Camembert. Exactly.
Exactly.
I get jokes. The press release.
I get jokes.
And then the other one that's completely demolished is our morning goat, spelled M-O-U-R-N. It's a soft-ripened chev that has the addition of blue mold to it. So it is a little bit more piquant.
All right, Brent, I got 30 seconds.
Okay.
Tell me quickly what that is right there.
The massive wheel.
Big massive wheel is our signature Le Breton Bleu, kind of the cheese that sparked the...
And who is that named for?
That's named after me being a... I can't say that.
All right, Adam, please tell everybody where they can find you and Brent at Bourbon Steak.
Come see us at Bourbon Steak at the Four Seasons in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of amazing festive things going on. Gearing up for Thanksgiving. If you need a place to come and dine for Thanksgiving, Bourbon is the spot.
And I'm coming in for some white truffle camembert.
Oh, my God. We're going to totally break that on that one. Maybe that's what we'll do for your birthday.
There we go. Keep it
Well, thank you guys so much, and thanks for coming in. Ralph, Chris, converge back on the mic. So just give people a little bit more information about the food at Acqua al Due.
So Acqua al Due is a modern Tuscan.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of pastas, vegetarian pastas,
mm-hmm.
Over 15 on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of steaks as well.
The blueberry steak.
Blueberry steak is one of our signatures.
I've had it.
It's
delicious.
Unbelievable. My personal favorite is the balsamic filet. It's a balsamic reduction. We're doing a great beef steak of Fiorentina.
Mm-hmm.
50-ounce porterhouse.
How many
unbelievable.
Ounces?
50 ounces.
Wow.
You can eat it.
Yeah,
you can finish
I'll take that one down.
Yeah, we'll polish that off.
As long as the server doesn't put it in front of my husband, right?
It's the gauntlet.
Oh, yeah. So lots of great stuff. Actually, Ari is in Italy.